This is the February 27 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing and John Zanker, Risk Manager of Commodities. And then we'll have a discussion about the marketplace, too, with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, where today at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You may register for the All Day Ag Outlook. It's Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Chip Nellinger, do you have a list of items we ought to discuss for the day?
Yeah, Todd, I think there's a lot to discuss here. The tariff situation, you know, what to do going forward now that we've had this break into the end of the month. How should a producer position themselves into the new crop? And probably should talk about the Ag Outlook Forum numbers a little bit as well.
And John Zanker, anything?
Well, besides those, I think, you know, I'll probably concentrate more on my fears of what could happen to this soybean market going forward. You know, in general, I like the corn fundamentals, although everything's gotten beat up this week. But I'm really fearful of what the downside could be in this soybean sector. So I'll probably focus more on that than anything else today.
Okay, well, let's begin actually with USDA Ag Forum numbers, since those are top of mind. There were some interesting figures, I suppose. The trade was expecting about, what, 93.6 million acres, something like that. For corn, USDA and the Ag Forum put that at 94. It did leave yield at 181. I suppose it could have been 182. I don't remember what trend line actually is. It was 181.5 last year. So we'll see where that ends up. They end up with the season's average cash price of 420, a stocks-to-use ratio of 12.9% for their corn. Soybean acres are set at 84 million with a yield of 52.5, a $10 season average cash price. Stocks to use ratio there at 7.2%. That's fairly tight. 8.7% is the current stocks to use ratio, by the way. Let's start with that set of numbers. Chip, when you saw them come out from USDA this morning, anything that grabbed your attention?
Yeah, I think two things, Todd. I think number one, that corn acreage number was probably a little bit higher than what the market expected, to your point. And then secondly, even with, you know, the lower bean acreage number, that carryout, that stocks to use number, still fairly tight. So now the thing we don't know, but it's just a starting point on this Outlook Forum, you know, supply and demand table, is the demand. There's going to be a lot of debate on that through the, you know, the next several months. We won't get the first official new crop balance sheet from the USDA till May. But it's a good starting point. It kind of sets a line in the sand as to where we're at. But, you know, I would say all told, about as expected. But the thing that jumped out at me, even on the corn side with extra acres at 181 yield, which, by the way, we've never hit before, tight stocks to use ratio. So to me, it says there's no margin for error on this upcoming crop or any margin for error on the Brazil second crop corn that they're planting right now.
Anything, John, that you pulled out of those numbers that you want to talk about?
Well, I was generally not overly concerned with them. They were just a little bit higher than I expected them to come up with, but actually maybe a little bit lower than what I think the March 31st numbers could be. I could see corn acres rising 4 million and then a light cut in soybeans, although cotton could be down. And do we pick up some bean acres there? Sorghum is expected to be down. What do we pick up on those acres? So, again, just I look at that, and then the USDA baseline numbers that came out last week. I think everybody right now is overly optimistic on soybean exports for next year. I don't know how we can raise exports from this year when that South American crop is looking 500 to 600 million bushels bigger than last year. I just think there's a looming disaster out there. if we come in with a new record yield, and we're way past due for one. So that's where my biggest concern is. And, you know, like Chip mentioned, I think that stocks to usage ratio continues to be an interesting item for corn. So I think it's hard to be really bearish corn, especially after the sell-off.
No, so May will be the first time that we get an official look at the new crop or this year's crop that's being put into the ground for corn and soybeans and wheat. Generally, USDA will pull from the ag form directly unless there's a big planting, and it has to be an enormous planting delay or something that's happening in May, the yield number. And then, of course, they'll multiply that by the May 31, generally speaking, acreage figure, and that's how they'll come up with total production at that time. So let's do come back to you with those fears that you have in the soybean market, John. Can you flush those out for me just a little bit and talk about what you're seeing that causes you some issues?
Well, they have... The locals down there, in fact, what is it, AgriConsult had, I think they had Brazilian soybean production at 174.88. USDA is currently 169. I expect they'll go up next month on that a little bit. But, you know, most of those numbers are kind of settling in around 171, 172. That's 18 to 19 million tons higher than last year. Argentina, I think they were at 52 million last year, and I thought maybe that crop was slipping back into the 45 area, but some of these late rains and easing of the temperatures have some people thinking. I think it was the Buenos Aires Exchange came out with a 49.6. So if we did 49.6 in Argentina and we did 171, 172 in Brazil, we've got about a 600 million bushel increase or more in production down there. Arlen Suderman has been saying for the last couple of weeks that it looks like Brazil loadings for China are down this year. So how can that be so far? Just, you know, how many times have we said that in late February that Chinese loadings out of Brazil are down? And so if Brazil flattens or if China flattens out on usage, and we add 600 million bushels of beans, and we end up with a good enough yield to offset the acreage decrease, I think you're looking at a very negative situation, and an ending carryout that's going to be pushing that 600 million bushel area in soybeans. 600 million bushel carryout sets up a run to $9 if, you know, if corn's under some pressure as well.
As China indicated that it is trying to develop and use more domestic soybeans, I know acreage, they continue to try to push, but have they been successful internally of increasing production?
I don't think that they have in a big way. I think what's happened, though, is they've maybe for the time being backed away from building large stocks, and that might be the shift, but it's always hard to get accurate, good information, true information out of China.
And Chip, what is your feeling about soybeans going forward? Are you in the same camp as John where you're very concerned about, or do you have a different opinion?
No, I am concerned. I don't disagree with John. It's all about the timing, in my opinion. And if you go back a little bit here at the lows several months ago, that was kind of the talk, too. So there's part of my brain that says, you know, have we traded some of that large crop already? I think back to the Ag Outlook Forum, we maybe were given a little bit of a gift here. To John's point, we probably have the demand too high on that supply and demand table, but it's going to be several months before they likely start reducing that. And so I think that might have been a little bit of a gift today. So, yes, long answer is, share those concerns. I think it may take, I don't think that's an immediate, you know, next 3 week type of a deal, although we could certainly go lower. I think if we're going sub $9, it's probably on the back of a big crop here this, you know, coming fall. So it may be out a ways, but certainly the framework is there for some real problems this fall if we realize a 170 plus crop out of Brazil and then have a big crop here.
Chip, as we close out the month of February, what concerns do you have?
Yeah, I'm watching to see how much further liquidation these funds have. It's probably not a stretch to have imagined that with as big a position as they had in the corn market, that we saw some evening up, some liquidation in the first notice day and into the month. I think more importantly, the first three or four trading sessions of March are going to really set the stage. Do they back off the liquidation and support and start buying the corn market again? Or do they hit the accelerator with additional liquidation, which could really get ugly in the corn market? So I think the first part of next week, first 4 or 5 days of the new month in March, really are going to set the stage for the corn market.
Now, John, you told us up front that you rather liked the corn fundamentals. Can you give me reasons why?
Well, exports have just exceeded all expectations, and that started in the summer, and we've just not really backed off. Inspections were a little disappointing this week. Sales this morning a little disappointing, but that's just versus what we've been seeing, but not versus the five-year average last year. We're well ahead of the pace. StoneX has us 200 million bushels ahead of the pace needed to match the USDA's numbers. So currently we're at 1.54 carryout. And we're thinking we're going to at least 1.4 unless things just really fall off a cliff. And that's in large part going to be determined with what happens to that safrinha crop in Brazil. But it went in a little bit late, and we could see concerns there develop. But we might drop that carryout as low as 1.3 if that safrinha crop stumbles at all. And 1.3, 1.4, that's more closely aligned with $6 futures than it is $5 futures, Todd. So I think there's some interesting development there, but it's a little bit difficult to be confidently bullish corn when I'm also highly concerned about the direction of soybeans.
What kind of ending stocks figure are you using in your supply and demand tables for the 25-26 growing season?
I came up with 94 million acres. I think I might have used 94.5 in that in the model I did here recently, and 181-182 corn yield. That takes the carryout back up above 2 billion. So then you got to worry about what happens if we have beans at $9 in the fall. Can we take these corn down to $4? I think the answer is probably yes. But as Chip said, we're a long way between here and there. So I don't see $4 corn or $9 beans coming up on the horizon anytime soon. And, probably late August, September at the earliest, if we have one of those really outstanding growing seasons, which we have a hard time doing anymore.
Now, Chip, I want to turn your attention to tariffs. The president has said he will impose them next week in March. And then there will be another set, the reciprocals, that could come in April. What concerns does this offer to the marketplace?
Well, I think the first is unknown, right? And no market, whether it's the equities or the bond market or grain, livestock, likes uncertainty. So you're always wondering what's the retaliation going to be? How bad will this be? Will it any retaliation be, related directly to our grain trade into Mexico or Canada? So there's all those questions there, but the biggest thing is uncertainty, and no markets like uncertainty. And oftentimes that drives liquidation, right? And unfortunately, in the case of corn and even beans right now, the funds are long. And if they get uncertain about things and run to the sidelines, that means there's a fair amount of selling that could come in the corn market, especially, and to a lesser extent, the bean market.
And then, John, if you want to follow up on this thought, tariffs, trade, issues related to what's happening across the domestic economy in the United States, how concerned might you be?
Well, Chip spelled it out really well, and that word uncertainty is never typically a bullish thing. And as we saw Trump point one, 1.0, that those 4 years were a little bit rough, and they were certainly volatile at times. And, this is not something we really need at this point. Talk of adding another 10% to China. And I think there's some confidence in the trade after what happened the first time with the 25% tariffs being put on Canada and Mexico. We know we didn't even get through the weekend, and they were lifted. So I think there's some growing confidence that President Trump will get his way with anything he wants. And I think the danger is that at some point, you know, he's talking about 25% tariffs now on the European Union. And out of all those, they may be, along with China, the ones to stand up and say, wait a minute, you know, let's stand back and take a look at this. Is this really what you want to do? So Europe's been a very good buyer of American soybeans and this year, this marketing year, and they've helped make up for the shortfall from China. So we don't want China and Europe upset with us at the same time.
Is there anything from this week and or last week combined, and I'm thinking about the break in the marketplace, that causes you to rethink what your marketing plan might be, whether it's for what's left in the old crop, if you have any, and or the new crop? And I think I'll work through both of you, but John, why don't you start for me, please?
Well, we had worked down our remaining old crop stocks of corn here in the past this month, and still have some left, and was feeling pretty confident about that, especially after we managed to close over $5. You know, after five runs at it and we finally closed above it, I didn't expect this kind of break. So that's been a little disappointing. Beans have been pretty heavily priced for a long time, you know, since summer. And the new crop we have, you know, we'll, if we're not at 100%, we'll be 100% hedged in some fashion tomorrow. But with corn, I'll be surprised if we don't see that $5 mark hit for December. It's going to take a while, but I just, we're still the only good game in town here for a while. And if that late planted safrinha crop gets into that hot and dry season, we'll be at $5 in a hurry. So, but I would, you know, if somebody wants to carry some old crop into late spring, summer, corn, I wouldn't be highly opposed to that. I think that might have a winning hand there, but, I certainly would not be messing around with soybeans much longer.
Yeah, I would agree with John. Nothing last week or this week has swayed us, really. We've had very little old crop left, unless a producer ahead of time made the decision, I'm going to hold corn into July, August, regardless, then this break really doesn't matter to them. We're going to look to sometime very soon, as early as tomorrow or early next week, come in and cover some of the sales we have made on new crop. We're no more than 15% priced. Cover those with calls, especially on corn. To John's point, if there's any flare up in on the Brazil second crop corn, I mean, it could get explosive because there isn't very much old crop remaining in farmers' hands. So there won't be as much resistance the next rally if you see it, and it could get explosive if you see it. So looking to buy some calls on this break on corn, to cover sales and maybe some additional for some courage calls, expecting the normal seasonal to still, you know, hold true. And that means some uncertainty into the growing season and probably higher highs into the June, July timeframe.
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. John Zanker is at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Sue Martin now joins us. She's from Clarion, Iowa at Ag and Investment Services and will be joining us at the All Day Ag Outlook next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can too, willag.org. Tickets are $40. Get them today. And they will go up Saturday or Sunday, depending on when I get around to doing that. But pre-registration will end soon, so make sure that you get in and get your ticket as soon as possible. And really, it's just a registration. You're not getting a ticket. We'll have a name tag for you once you show up at the Beef House on Tuesday. Sue, thank you for doing that. Thank you for flying in. We really appreciate that you'll be with us this year.
Oh, I think it's an honor, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm very much looking forward to catching up with all the other analysts and the people that'll be visiting, but also hearing perceptions and what people are thinking. And sometimes it's just nice to get out amongst producers from around the grain belt and just hear where they're standing at. So it's going to be an interesting meeting, I think.
It should be. Now, let's preface what you're going to talk about that day. And maybe it'll change between then and now just because the marketplace this week has been really interesting. What have you been watching?
Well, the one thing about corn is, first off, you know, we've had a very good push. And the extension of power, I always thought since August 30th when I was on Market to Market, I thought that we would see the grains, corn and soybeans. Wheat kind of deviated, but the corn and soybeans followed the path of higher into January. But I didn't anticipate how extreme the corn would get until we seen the USDA final production numbers, and that was kind of the game changer. But the thing about the corn market is, you know, okay, I went back because I kept pushing after we seen that report, and it was justified to do so, but it kept pushing and pushing. And I went back, and from 1973 on forward to date, I took years where we had like a spike rally high and came down off it. And you know how that is. It's always like taking the elevator shaft, which today probably felt like. And so I took those years, and I took the first major low that we made, the bounce, and then compared it with the ultimate low and the first rally effort we got. What was interesting was, out of all those years, there were two that stood out. One was $1.60 improvement for a lead contract of corn, which in this case is the March contract. And the second one was $1.63, and this one $1.44. So it was telling me we were pushing the envelope, and that the market was probably due for some kind of a hefty correction, and how would it evolve into the turn of the month. Well, we've had several things going here. First off, the Ag Forum Outlook meetings that were, they released their corn numbers here this morning, and the trade had dialed in a 93.5 million acre number, and it came out the second largest for the last 10 years of 94 million bushels, and of course comparing to 2023 when we had 94.6 million acres of corn planted. They put the yield at 181 bushel per acre, which was higher than where we ended up for the last crop year. And what was interesting was, you know, last year they started off from 177.1 in 2023. They jumped to, what was it, 183.8 or 6, something like that, and was very ambitious. Boy, when you have something like that, that kind of a jump for a record yield, that's saying everything's got to go perfect, and it just did not. And so then we get the change of psychology, and that sends us the rest of the way to get that $1.44. But what it tells me is when they're talking $1.80 or 181 bushel per acre yield for this year, that tells me we still have to have very good weather, very little mishaps in weather and in production. Well, you know, you look at this year, and we have a late Easter. There's an old saying, late Easter, late spring. There's another saying, March comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lion. I hate to say it, we're in a very vacillating weather pattern. We get 2 to 3 weeks in one spell, and then we turn back and where we're warm. We're in that warmth right now. And then we turn around and flip back into the really cold and wet. And I think that's kind of the pattern we're going to be looking at. So it shocks me at all this year if we see a late planting sim for corn. Now, farmers I know in our area that like to plant beans first, and so that's going to delay them. But even the corn getting into May, and then we decide how late does it and what does the weather push us, it may just be that they're being overly optimistic this year. Because we have to keep in mind, last year we had an ideal spring for planting, and then we caught some pretty decent rains. But we had an ideal spring. And actually, when you think about it, we've had 4 years of ideal springs. So we're probably overdue for one that's not going to be so kind. So when I look at the market, and then they take the stocks to usage ratio. Well, here's another thing. This is a year of a 5. And I have data that goes all the way back, actually, to 1915 for corn. And so from just taking from 1925 forward, the last 10 years of a 5, all of them showed, other than one, showed a deterioration in the last half of the year, especially the last quarter. And the harvest lows tended to come later than early, like in August or September. They tended to be more October, November, several of them December. So then I looked at the one that did not go along with the others. 1994-95 was very similar. It was interesting. In that year, in 94, we had good production, record production. Farmers didn't do a good job of selling, and therefore they were quick to make sales in 95. Well, right now we've got farmers that have been quick to make sales, and from my understanding, we're over 80% sold in old crop corn. But then by the 4th of July, many farmers in the Midwest, and I know in Iowa especially, had taken and done hedge-to-arrive contracts. And I know we were at a hog roast on the 4th of July, and the local elevator manager came up to me and he goes, "Sue," he said, "would you believe I've bought all the corn I'm going to get off the combine normally in the fall?" Oh, that was music to my ears, because it told me there's no hedge pressure for the fall. And what it was is they were really aggressive in hedge-to-arrive contracts. What's interesting is now I'm hearing people talking about doing accumulator contracts, which is kind of interesting because of the similarity. However, in 95 to 96, we had some weather issues as well. And then as we got into the fall, we had Japan step in. Hook, line, and sinker was buying corn. And so our stocks to usage ratio went from 16.1% down to, I believe, a little over 5%. It was a huge decline. Well, we started off at the end of, in the February report, our stock to usage ratio was what, 10.2? What would happen if the weather just isn't really kind this year? And you know, we have an 89-year cycle that I know Dr. Elwin Taylor used to always talk about that relates back to 1936. And that was a drought year. We have a 72-year cycle that relates to 1953. That too, a drought year. In fact, in Iowa, it was actually worse than it was in 1936. What happens? And this is not even talking politics. And then you throw politics into this mix. And of course, today, you know, yesterday we had word that out of Reuters and also Politico that the Trump administration, President Trump, was talking about delaying the tariffs until April 2nd. And then this morning, it came out that he had put out on Truth Social, no, it's going to be next Tuesday, March 4th. Well, you know, who knows? Because we kind of did a dance like this in January before the February tariffs were to go into play for Canada and Mexico. So it's going to be interesting, and I think the weekend could be one that we have no idea could hold surprises. But the bottom line is, everybody gets nervous about these tariffs. And, you know, for corn, I could kind of see with $5 corn, prices pushing like they were, and the dollar strength that we have, that Mexico could be a little apprehensive about a 25% tariff. However, sending feeder cattle to the U.S. is a whole different story. Yes, they'll pay the 25% tariff, but you have prices near all-time record highs. And in the meantime, a very strong dollar. That just pays them to send them to us. They're going to be taking in pretty good money, even if they pay a 25% tariff. It's not going to have the same impact.
the funny thing about the All Day Ag Outlook is that there are times, more so than you might imagine on the over the 35 years, that it is the place where the market turns. And I'm wondering, because you mentioned, of course, March 4th, the president possibly imposing, or maybe not, or maybe settling a trade war. Do you suppose that we are in that time frame where we will know direction in the next 2 weeks?
Well, I think what we have to take, a lot of times what you say about March 4th is true. And what do I associate it with is the commodity classic. So often I see soybean prices, for example, rally into the commodity classic. And when it's done, prices turn south and they correct. Through March, the market's going to be, it's going to take politics. And of course, you know, right now we're looking at Argentine weather and the planting season in Brazil, and you can't kill a crop till you get it planted anyway. But the Argentine weather, has been in some spots of Argentina, not good, but in other parts good. But for corn, maybe in the areas where they've missed, corn's just too far along to have helped it out with rain. Beans is a different story. So I look at the corn market, and I think there's, you know, again, I go back to that 94-95 similarities we have, and I don't recall any politics situation back then that we have as an added bonus for volatility. But I think when I look at the market, if we're going to have another potential rally, it may come more as we get in towards April, sometime in April. Maybe we strike a low or early May, and then we turn and we're stronger into the summer, maybe into July. Because that is something else I noticed on years of a five. Many of them did have highs in July. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting. But again, with the political landscape we have going and the tariffs, you know, I think people underestimate the impact that the dollar has in this. And, you know, when I look at a chart today, I looked this afternoon at a chart of the dollar versus the Mexican peso. And according to my indicators, it's showing the dollar should strengthen against the peso. Well, that just plays in, if they're sending cattle here, that just plays into their hands of anything we're buying. If we're sending stuff to them, that's a little different story. So it's going to be interesting, but Mexico is our largest corn buyer. And so that's why I think corn just responded like it did so hard today when you commingled it with the Ag Forum outlook, when they actually even increased the stocks as a percent of usage. I'm looking for it here and I can't seem to find where I put it, but they did increase it back over 12%. And so, you know, it just was a negative for corn today. And then we're ending the month tomorrow. And of course, this is your crop insurance month anyway. So I know at mid-month, we were looking at an average very close to 470. So now we'll see how that shakes out.
Hey, thank you. We'll see you next Tuesday.
You got it. I'm looking forward to it.
Sue Martin is with Ag and Investment Services. She's out of Clarion, Iowa, and will join us Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can do for the All Day Ag Outlook, but you need to register today online at willag.org or at the Farm Doc Daily website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You've been listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.